Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I tell you all about it. If you smell the roasting of coffee beans in Hillcrest, then you are close to Milo's. Don't go away, you're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon, I'm Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. Opening up a new shop anywhere is a lot of work, but if you put on top of that a relatively fresh marriage and a new homeland, well, then you get Stefanos and Monica Milonas, and their new shop is called Milo's Coffee Company. Now, Stefanos is from Cyprus, and Monica is from Little Rock, and they came back here and they decided to really investigate and cultivate this coffee thing they had going, along with pastries. Now, you may remember the River City Coffee Company that was housed for years on the 2700 block of Cavanaugh Boulevard. It housed, you know, this great coffee shop with little teapots in the window, and I remember my daughter and I used to walk by them every day, and we would always pick out our favorite teapot. Well, they have actually moved down the street, and this old space was totally gutted and renovated by Stefanos and Monica and their whole slew of family and friends. And it's a brand new face and a brand new space at Milo's Coffee Company, and it is for coffee lovers. The scent of fresh roasted coffee is coming out of the chimney on the very top roof, and it is wonderful. They buy their beans fresh from West Rock in Maumelle, and they do all the roasting themselves. You can look and view all of this right inside of Milo's. You can watch them roast coffee. You can watch them bake pastries. It is worth the visit. And I was able to get a visit in with Stefanos before they opened, and I had a wonderful time. So here we go to Milo's Coffee Company. So I'm sitting here with Stefanos, and you'll have to pronounce your name one more time, and then maybe I'll get it.
Sure, it's Stefanos.
But your last name?
Milonas.
Milonas.
Yep.
So I did that okay, Milonas.
Absolutely.
Milonas.
Absolutely.
No, Milonas? Yeah, your brother's correcting me. So Stefanos, you and your wife, Monica, have opened Milo's Coffee up, you know, and this was a traditional coffee area with River City Coffee here for so long, so... You aren't quite open, but you'll open on April 1st.
Yeah, we hope so. We hope that we'll be open April 1st and continue to be open for a long time. We're excited to be here. We're excited to be in a space that was serving the community for many years, and we hope to continue doing so for as long as we're, you know, permitted to.
Yeah, and I will have to tell you that opening up this space is really exciting for me as a neighbor here in Hillcrest, right on Cavanaugh, and because it was kind of dark, it was quaint, cozy, and dark. So that's what made it quaint and cozy. But what you've done is really open it up.
We removed some partitions that we felt just needed to go. We were really thrilled one day when we found that we had extra windows. And we
surprise.
Yeah, surprise. It was a big surprise. I actually remember the moment my brother called me and said, we just discovered something that you might want to see. I was running an errand and I came back, and they had just like one of the top windows opened up, and I was like, oh my God, have you tried to see if the whole street front has those windows? And they said, not yet. And we carefully removed the panels and found mostly intact windows. They took some work to get them to look good, but the natural light that you get through them is unbelievable.
Yeah, and so you really restored the building to kind of its natural.
We, as much as our budget permitted, we tried to restore everything to its original condition. We worked extensively with the materials that were available to us within the space, One of the things that some of you might notice is that we did some alterations to the floor. We removed a raised floor just so that the space transitions as one unit. But we use the same floorboards, just back a little bit lower.
Yeah.
So the space we're sitting in now is actually the original floor that was here for many years. Right behind us, where coffee and pastries are served, the floor was just lower down a few inches, just so that the whole unit is on one level.
It really does. It looks fantastic. And it's Thank very you. Inviting. And it's, you know, what I love about it is it's very simple. It just chairs and tables, and it really looks and feels like community.
Absolutely. That's what we're all about.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. You know, and so the other thing that's interesting to me is that you come from Cyprus. I'm right. I read this a little bit about you, which is full of community, you know, full of, I mean, that's kind of the Greek atmosphere
it's
of community.
Part of who we are. I love people, and we wanted to give Hillcrest, we wanted to give Little Rock something that they could call their own and feel comfortable to come here, to have their cup of coffee, to meet a friend, to meet their future spouse. You know, to have a date, to enjoy food, enjoy a conversation. Yeah. We're just serving the community.
So you're doing this with your spouse, and you're a newlywed, I think.
Yes. Not highly advised.
No. Do not start a business with your bride.
It's been great. It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And we work really well as a team.
Nice.
And I could not have done this without her.
Now, she did this really incredible mural behind me, and it looks like she did a lot of it with a Sharpie or with a, you know, with its pens. It's a line drawing.
Yes.
And it's quite, it really matches the neighborhood.
She just picked some Hillcrest architecture. She basically loves to walk around the neighborhood. And we have some homes which we really like the style. We tried to make some alterations just to remove anything that's, you know, too specific. And yeah, she spent some time doing it. She's annoyingly talented sometimes in that respect.
Annoyingly talented. You are really talented and I'm annoyed. Yeah.
And we're really proud of it. I think it's become sort of a centerpiece in the coffee shop, and we're really, really, really proud of it. And we're glad you're mentioning it. She'll be thrilled.
It's really beautiful, and I think it really kind of speaks to the attitude and the ambiance here in Milo Coffee. So Milo Coffee, named after yourself, I suppose. And you know, coming from a tradition of coffee, I mean, they have incredible coffee that is very, very finely ground, and it's really a process in Greece and in Cyprus and in that area of the Mediterranean, where coffee is a process. It's
more part of the daily routine than it is in some other parts of the world. We hope to actually serve some Greek and Turkish coffee here too. But for most of the people that know us, we tend to do things at our own pace and sort of always try and be ready before we branch out into the next thing. We are in this for the long run, and we don't want to rush anything. And, you know, just develop one idea after the other in due time. You know, there's no reason to do everything today. And it's just sort of a philosophy we've had as Milo: start small, grow slowly, organically, and let sort of demand dictate what we do, as opposed to just trying to do too many things. We find that it eliminates mistakes, it eliminates waste, it gets people more comfortable, it allows us more creative and in control of what we do. So
So, you know, starting to about talking about, I mean, the philosophy is right on, and you and talking about that, I noticed on your wife's mural, there is a small tent that says Milo's, because you all started at, basically, at farmers markets.
We started at the Hillcrest Farmers Market. It was probably the easiest decision we've made. We grew up, I grew up going to farmers market. My wife thoroughly enjoys them too, and we was part of our courtship to go to farmers markets. And when we decided to do this, we there was no question about where we would start. There isn't a better place to go if you have a concept, an idea, small investment. You'll get honest feedback from honest people and give it a try. You know, why dive into the whole opening a restaurant without having some sort of experience and background? And you'll meet some great people doing it. So we encourage people to try new ideas at the farmer's market.
Well, you know, so here's what I noticed at the farmer's market, Stefanos, is I noticed that they were coming. I mean, a lot of people come to the farmer's market up here in Hillcrest, but there was a line at the Milo coffee tent. And the line started early because that's what people wanted before they were walking around picking up a pumpkin or a squash or whatever. But the and a lot of times you would see people that were like, oh, Milo's here, so now I can like come to the farmer's market. So that was a, for me, when I heard you all were going into a storefront, that made sense because the line was getting a little too long.
We've been really, really lucky. It's also easier for me to get out of bed to go to the farmer's market if there's a promise of a warm pastry and a cup of coffee. We were fortunate to contribute to the local community by doing that. We've actually been fairly absent from the market recently. We put all our time and effort into the space, and we will continue to remain just at the storefront for a little bit longer. We hope that when we break into our routine here and when the time is right, matching our philosophy about not doing, you know, 100 million things at the same time, we will hope to return at the farmer's market with our offerings and many other things. But we had a blast. We want to thank the local farmer's market. We want to thank the local growers for supporting us. We could have not made it this far without you guys. We continue to work with you, and we'll continue to do so. And just look out for us in the future. I wish I could just do the farmer's market every day. but there's a place and a time.
Right.
Yeah, there's a place and time for everything. And this is giving us the ability to create job opportunities for young and aspiring chefs and baristas and coffee roasters.
Yeah.
And it's great to slowly build a team that you can call your own, and people who love what they do. It's fantastic.
So I know that you get your coffee locally from West Rock,
mm-hmm.
and then you roast it here,
yes.
Which and then your brewing process is quite different than Starbucks or a traditional kind of what people have begun to know as a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. We work with West Rock because we have had and we continue to have a great relationship with the guys there. We've learned a lot by visiting with them from the beginning, and we like that we can consult with someone locally in regards to coffee. It used to be roasted beans, now it's green beans, and it's very exciting. We would hope to branch out to other importers of coffee too, but the ability to have a creative exchange of ideas within the city is just amazing. Branching out to another state and talking to somebody on the phone is a lot different to actually visiting in person with someone.
Yeah.
And that's all who we are. We like sort of the personal aspect of it. In terms of our brewing method, we've always used the pour over method for our filter coffee.
So can you describe the pour over method at Milo's?
Sure. It's all about being in control, and it's all about a fresh cup of coffee. So somebody puts an order for a coffee, a pour over coffee. We start by grinding the beans, the freshly roasted beans. That's hugely important. Ground coffee has such a small shelf life. It depends on how fine you ground, but you mentioned earlier Turkish coffee or Greek coffee, or espresso, which is slightly, minutely coarser. Those grinds have 30 seconds, 1 minute shelf life. There's so much surface area exposed to the air, to the oxygen, that you start losing natural oils immediately. Lesser so for our pour over, because it's a slightly coarser grind, even further than the espresso, but still, freshly ground beans. I say it, I'll say it again, try it at home. It makes the world of a difference. We use hot water in a gooseneck pour. Very important, the temperature of the water. It needs to be below boiling point. Boiling water is at 213 degrees Fahrenheit. Just allow yourself the ability to come a little bit lower than that. An experiment. Sometimes lightly roasted beans, lightly roasted coffee will work better at about 10 to 15 degrees below boiling point, at the sort of 200 degree mark. Darker roasted beans will work better at even lower temperatures, 180 to 190. So it's sort of an experiment that we enjoy, and it gives us the ability to be in control of the process. So like I said, we start with the ground coffee. We use a filter and a V-neck pourer, and we just extract our coffee individually every time. It's a little bit complicated to describe without any visual ads, but it come in at Milo, we'll talk you through it, we'll show you, we'll make you an awesome cup of coffee. And I guess the other thing I want to say is that we've been doing this for a while, but we're always learning from every customer, from every transaction, from every time we prepare a coffee. We try and always assess what we've done and find a way to get better. And the way I tell people to do it is just make a goal that you want to make better today and do it. Don't try and do too many things, but just set your goal for today, set your goal for the next time you'll greet a customer, achieve that, and then move on to the next thing.
So you obviously are getting feedback about your coffee for a long time from people that have, because I know that I have seen people say, this is the best coffee I've ever had, this is the greatest coffee, and you have a frame that you can put four or five coffees in at a time. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it at the farmer's market, and yeah, I even think that you can see a little bit of it demonstrated on the mural, but it's...
I wish people could see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can see it drive down, up and down Cavanaugh.
Yeah.
And it's great. Yeah. The setup at the market got to the point where people had to wait for too long to get a cup.
Can we look at your setup now?
Yeah
let's go back and look at it. So, you know, you have kind of elongated this space, and it's wide open, but your kitchen setup is quite nice.
It's
small, but it's wide open. Everybody can see everything.
It's been designed to meet our needs, and that's, again, a huge thing. You know, we tried our pastry ideas at the market, and we knew what we would be serving when we were designing the kitchen, which was invaluable. You know, it's designed to make Milo pastries. So I've enjoyed working here for the last 3 weeks.
I bet.
In the kitchen. I've been here for longer doing other stuff. But.
So we're going to talk about the pastries, but for right now, what you've got are these beautiful porcelain. What is this called? This funnel.
It's a Hario V-neck pourer. It gets a little bit wordy, but it's just something that allows you to hold a filter, specifically designed for this setup, and it's ceramic, which helps because once you start pouring your first cup, it heats up, it warms up, and it holds that temperature well, which is important. That first cup of the day, I've always tried to either gift it to a member of the team or consume it myself because it's not as good as the second or third.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you've got it set up too so that you have, you know, you can put coffee cups under all these. It looks like you could put five on this brick,
on this
particular frame.
Yes. We try and work with four, actually, just because when you go over that number, you start losing your focus, and that's important to us. We want to give each cup due diligence, due focus. I actually ask people to do three.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
the more advanced people are doing four and five, but
beginners are doing.
So here you also have your grind and your water, which is the temperatures on the water.
Yes. So we have a water heater where we can. This is amazing. This is something we haven't had at the farmer's market. You can set the temperature at the sort of best, and this is subjective, really. You know, it changes to people's tastes and taste buds and whatever, but. We can set the temperature to the nearest degree, be it 190, 195, 200, 205. One thing that's important, Mary, is this is our gooseneck pourer. It's called a gooseneck because it has this
long, elongated
neck, which looks like a gooseneck.
Goose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what this does it cools the water down just a little bit further. So this isn't actually our brewing temperature. This is our brewing temperature plus 7 or 8 degrees.
And this you're going to put it into this stainless steel pitcher with a gooseneck that will then cool it down just a little
bit. And this will come in contact with ambient temperature, ambient air, and also the water coming out. So what you want to know is when that water touches the grind, at what temperature you are.
That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So we're proud of it. We built our setup in-house, partly from leftover plumbing.
Copper plumbing.
Yeah, copper is great. Copper is something that we've used quite a bit in the project. Wood, copper, anything that we could get our hands on to make it our own and individual and also practical for the people working here.
Now, I notice you also have an espresso machine.
Yes.
So you're doing, talk a little bit about the difference between the, you called this the
pour over setup.
The pour over.
Yeah.
But then you also do an espresso with the same beans, I'm guessing.
It's a slightly different blend, actually.
Okay.
A lot of people are familiar with espresso based drinks. You can make cappuccinos, lattes, you can make Americanos. You can do all sorts of interesting stuff. We feel that, you know, a coffee shop is incomplete without a good espresso machine. Mm-hmm. We've started with this one that we're looking at right now. It's a great machine, and we have a great barista working here. Sam Sturveden, he's done amazing work for us the last month or so. And we highly recommend that people who enjoy the pour over take a break and try a cappuccino or a double espresso or something. It's equally good. I could not be more thrilled to be working with Sam on this project, and he's one of the people who have put creative ideas and input into our roasting too. But going back to the blend, It's a coffee with similar characteristics to our pour over at the moment, and this will be changing as the season changes and as we get a little more experienced. But it's a blend which also has some Brazilian coffee in it because Brazilian coffees allow you to add a little bit of body into your espresso, which is important. People are looking for that crema in their espresso, and we had to do something slightly different there just to get the best possible espresso out of, you know, the beans that we had. And we're really happy with it. But if you have any input, any feedback, we need to make it even better.
That's great. Now, the other thing that's really, that stands out in this great space, which is really open, I love it, is the roaster.
Yes.
Which, this is a big green machine.
It's a green machine. It's a Dietrich 5 kilo or around 10 pound, 11 pound roaster.
About five, you know, about almost 6 feet tall.
It weighs and around 800 pounds.
Yeah, it looks like a big green mixer or something, but yep. It's a roaster.
It's a coffee roaster, and we're extremely proud of it. Partly because a lot of savings went into getting it, and partly because it's been amazing to work with this machine. It's sort of another type of craftsmanship. You know, it's we went out there in Idaho at the Dietrich factory a few months ago. We met the guys building this on a roasting course that we went to, myself, Monica, Marcos, who is doing the roasting for us here. And it was such an experience to meet people who, again, enjoy what they do, and they're damn good at what they do.
Well, and they're under the same craft that you're doing here in Little Rock.
Yeah. So let me show you. We have.
Oh, I'm so excited. Does it smell like this all the time? I mean, will you get this kind of coffee scent in here? Or because I see it has a chimney that goes out.
In fact, when we roast, because it has a pretty efficient chimney, it sometimes smells slightly better just outside the door than it does in here. So these are green beans.
Oh, now, you know, I don't think I've ever seen green coffee beans.
So this is the bean we use for our pour over.
Yeah.
It goes in the hopper at the top.
Okay.
And we heat up the machine to around 375, 400 degrees Fahrenheit.
Does it get warm back here?
It doesn't, no. It's pretty efficient.
It's very contained.
Yeah, it's very contained.
Like an oven.
Actually.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweet, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find links to Milo's Coffee Company on my website, arkansascooks.com. And you can also find Milo's Coffee Company on Facebook. Now, if you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to hear from you folks. And the information I get is always great. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Stefanos and the Milo Coffee Company folks. And next week, we're going to learn more about the food at Milo's. It is wonderful. Also, thanks to Travis Hill for making me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is way too short to eat bad food or drink bad coffee. So only eat good food with great coffee and eat it with great people, people that you love. It'll taste so much better.